It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 441. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Send me a friend request and follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow. And we got the wiki at mtswiki.com, where you'll find links to all of the previous shows, which will link you back to the audio and the show notes, going all the way back to show number one. Well, it's been an incredibly busy week, a crazy busy week. I'm going to talk about one main story from in the trenches of real work of replacing a server and migrating email in an emergency situation, and many lessons learned that I hope you will take away from this. I'm going to briefly go over the 21 absolutely unbreakable laws of money. I can't resist. I have to share that with you. And then I have a stack of email. We're going to get to as many as we can. So first, if you've been following with me, last Thursday night during the show, I was doing maintenance on an Exchange server where we had massive problems. The server's been rebooting and all kinds of hardware issues. The server's on its last leg, and we've known this. It's a very old server, so I had discussions with my client that it has to be replaced. Well, we ordered the server, but new servers take time. So the new Dell server, as a matter of fact, it shipped over the weekend, and it's coming, I believe, via donkey, because it's taken a week to come from Texas. Lord knows. You know, why would Dell ship it overnight when I really needed it the next day, when they shipped it via some kind of horse and buggy that's traveling across the states to deliver the server? But anyway, it's going to arrive on Friday, tomorrow, and my son and I will pick it up the minute we get text from my distributor. When it's there, I will get the server and take it down and start migrating. But we could not wait for the email. The utilities that I ran, the maintenance, it did not work. The repairs of the database did not work. I could not recover, or at least bring to a state, the email server to where they did not lose anything. So we had to go back to the last backup, which was successful, which was the night before. So not a terrible loss. I restored from a Shadow Protect backup the email from the night before. That worked perfectly, but I was dealing with a server that would stay up for like about 4 or 5 hours and then crash. So I had very little time to work, and I needed to quickly get email for my client. Now, we had already been talking about moving to the cloud, and I talked about Sherweb, which is an Exchange-hosted service. Great service. We quickly set up the account. I created the 6 email accounts, and immediately they had email. Now, they have a Postini spam service, so all I had to tell Postini was where to go to send the mail to Sherweb. Quick call to tech support to make sure I had the exact reference for sending mail. They were very helpful. I went into the admin console of Postini. Mail was now flowing to ShareWeb for my client, but they had to use OWA, a browser, to access everything. But that's okay. They're getting new mail. They're sending mail. They're up and running. I had to now get access to all of their legacy and their old mail that was trapped in the Exchange server. So I spent the weekend, when I mean the weekend, I mean almost the entire weekend, exporting email using the EXMerge utility from the users. And the EXMerge utility creates an individual PST with all the email for that account. Okay, no problem. So I run this. This is hours, tens of hours. I get all of the PSTs, and the process for ShareWeb, which I really like, they give you an FTP account where you can FTP the PST file up to a storage area, holding area that they have. You then go into the control panel. Once that file is uploaded successfully, I then go to this control panel and I marry the file that was uploaded to the account that was created. And they will start a migration, which is very, very fast. And I can follow this as it was happening, as I was uploading one, migrating another. And I'm doing this and I got everybody migrated except for one person. Every time I try to migrate it after I uploaded his PST, it fails. This is where there is corruption within this person's email account, but we got to get to the legacy mail. It just so happens that this person is also suffering from the flu that's been going around that you've been seeing on the news. He is like really, really sick. And I've been talking to him, and the only way we're going to get to the mail, which we're still in the middle of this for him, I have to fire up the Exchange services, and we got to manually connect to Exchange with his Outlook client, and we got to drag and drop all of the folders, and he has a lot of them, into a brand new fresh PST that's going to work, then upload that PST and then start the migration process. That's going to happen tomorrow because he's going to be back into work. And I don't believe he's all better. So I'm not going to go within 6 feet of him when I'm there. And I hope that now I don't get sick. So now, what are the lessons learned here? So they have email. Oh, there were many issues. When you migrate a local server, and you migrate it to the cloud, what about local services in their office that use that Exchange server to send mail? In the heat of an emergency migration, those things get overlooked. I didn't even think of their phone system where they have, because I had nothing to do with the installation of that and the maintenance and the support of that. Well, it appears that when they are left a voicemail, it sends it to their inbox. So today, or actually late yesterday, on Wednesday, I get an email saying, what's happened to our voicemails? They're not coming to our inbox. Oh, I knew right away. It's trying to talk to an Exchange server. The Exchange is shut down. Which, by the way, once I stopped the Exchange services, the server no longer reboots and crashes. So clearly Exchange is sitting on a bad partition, bad area of the hard drive, which is where I'm getting the errors. And the hard drive RAID is in a state that is unstable. And I'm just keeping the server up. I have backups and I'm just keeping the server up until the new server comes in and I can start migrating the only services that are left, which are the database, the SQL database that has to be migrated for their case management software, and then all of their local shared files. So that's going to be migrated to the new server. Well, what about this mail system? So I'm on the phone this morning with tech support, and he tries to configure it to send the SMTP to ShareWeb. Well, guess what? ShareWeb wants TSL authentication, which the software that my client has on their phone system does not support. Now, they get the new version because they've already paid for the maintenance. So now they have to schedule an on-site visit of the phone system tech to upgrade their phone system software just so it can send messages to SureWeb so they can get that. Okay, fine. Guess what I learned right before I went live tonight on the air? Someone sent me an email and said their scans aren't coming back to their email. I didn't even realize they were using that back to their own email. I knew they were scanning to a network share. I didn't interrupt that. Well, the copier needs to communicate with email, and I bet you I'm going to run into the same issues. The email now, I got to call the support for the copier, which I have nothing to do with, and we got to go in and change the config so it can now send email, and it's got to go to the server that is hosted. So there's lots of impact here. Oh, it gets better. So now people are getting undeliverable emails. I don't know. I'm like, why? Everything's working great. Undeliverable email because they are using the path of the existing autocomplete feature from Outlook, from that NK2 file, which I'm actually going to try to edit and see if I can remove these. Anybody that's sending a local email to someone that they've already been emailing in the past to that local server, well, it's looking for that same path, and it's looking for an exchange server that doesn't exist, and the email fails. You got to be kidding me. It gets worse. The people are using Outlook, or some of them are using Outlook XP. That's Office 2002. Well, you got to have Office 2010 to communicate properly with Exchange 2010 hosted in the cloud. Well, I only got one user with Outlook 2010 who has the full Office 2010, so we have to buy 5 copies of Office 2010. So I quickly go online and buy the product keys. They're delivered on Monday from Amazon and Newegg, because of course Amazon wouldn't, I don't know why, but I was only allowed to buy a maximum of 3. And I'm like, I need 5. So I bought 3 from there, and then I went to Newegg and I bought 2. So now I have the product keys. So the 5 individuals that don't have Office 2010, I got to remotely install that. No problem. I install that. Now remember, no training, no nothing. Monday, I complete 3 of them, Monday night. Tuesday morning, I get a call from one of the paralegals, and she says, Mike, my Microsoft Word is very different. And I said, different? I said, it's not even remotely close to what you were using. And I don't think she was expecting that answer, and there was just silence, because how do you respond to that when the person you're asking says, well, it's not even going to be remotely close. I upgraded you last night with, by the way, no one telling you that you were being upgraded to Office 2010, and now everything, the way you're working and the way you're used to using it, is going to be totally different. Again, when you're in an emergency situation and you're forced to do this upgrade that you got to shove down everybody's throat in an emergency situation, you're now not doing the proper planning. And that's not the way I'm used to working. I am a project plan person. I'm a person that needs to lay it all out and think of everything, discuss it, organize it, and it's going to be implemented perfectly. There are so many things that are being missed that I would have never, ever missed if I was doing the proper planning. And that's why I'm sharing this with you, to think of all the possible things that would happen if you were in an emergency situation and try to paint that picture to your client to convince them to not allow that situation to happen. This is where communications have been lapsed. The person that was supposed to communicate, I didn't realize on Monday, was sick and had the flu and didn't come in. So that was the guy that got sick. Well, he's the main person that was supposed to be communicating all this, and that wasn't happening. So in the middle of all this, my main focal point of communications to the rest of the company is not in the office. So it was just an unbelievable amount of disruption. But email was up. The case management software was up. All in all, it's just several inconveniences that they've had to just plug through and keep going. But there was no total disruption to the business. And that's the nice thing. The server has been, knock wood, has not been rebooted since the weekend. And I believe that that was because when I shut down all the Exchange services, and this is Small Business Server 2003, it's just been running. Now I'm really afraid to light that up. So when this one user comes back in and we got to connect to get his mail, that's the one that's been erroring out. I'm kind of worried about that. So we'll have to see. I'll keep you posted. I'll spend less time on this next week. The new server's going to be in. I'm going to migrate them. And I don't anticipate any new things, but you never know. There's still things out there probably that we haven't even ran into that we're going to run into. And you just got to deal with each issue as you're dealt it. Deal with it quickly, efficiently, with the least disruption that I possibly can, and implement it and just keep moving forward and keep communicating with the client on every step of the way. But this has just sucked the life out of me on time, because now I got regular clients, you know, other clients that I got to take care of. This is a retainer client. And this week was a valuable lesson to me when I have multiple things happening at the same time, who gets priority? And it's retainer clients first and foremost, because that's what pays the bills. That is the core of my business. They got the total attention. And then what do you do if you got two retainer clients at the same time that need help? Well, the one that pays the most is the one you take care of first, then the next. I have been very, very thankful that all of my clients and even new business that has been coming up this week, everybody has been patient, understanding, and we've been moving the schedule out over the next couple weeks where I'm getting to everybody and scheduling everything. Just going to keep plugging away. So let's get to this PDF that I received from one of the attendees that is always front and center, Reg, of my PAX presentations. He's there every month, and he's a marketing expert, and he sent me a couple emails that I'm actually going to be implementing some things on the website that he's recommended, especially when it comes to donations and things like that and how it should be presented. He's got some great ideas, and I'm going to implement them. But he sent this along, and it's a PDF that's an ebook titled The 21 Absolutely Unbreakable Laws of Money by Brian Tracy, and it's to be shared. And I'm going to make sure that you can download this from the show notes. So I'm only going to highlight the 21 laws. You can download the full PDF and dig into this a little more. So law one, the law of cause and effect. Everything happens for a reason. There is a cause for every effect. Now remember, this is just common sense, all these laws. The second law, the law of belief. Whatever you truly believe with feeling becomes your reality. Three, the law of expectations. Whatever you expect with confidence becomes your own self-fulfilling prophecy. Four, the law of attraction. You are a living magnet. You invariably attract into your life the people, situations, and circumstances that are in harmony with your dominant thoughts. Five, the law of correspondence. Your outer world is a reflection of your inner world and corresponds with your dominant patterns of thinking. Six, the law of abundance. We live in an abundant universe in which there is sufficient money for all who really want it and are willing to obey the laws governing its acquisition. Seven, the law of exchange. Money is the medium through which people exchange their labor, in the production of goods and services for the goods and services of others. Number 8, the law of capital. Your most valuable asset in terms of cash flow is your physical and mental capital, your earning ability. 9, the law of time perspective. The most successful people in any society are those who take the longest time period into consideration when making their day-to-day decisions. 10, the law of saving. Financial freedom comes in the person who saves 10% or more of his income throughout his lifetime. 11, the law of conservation. It's not how much you make, but how much you keep that determines your finances. 12, Parkinson's law. Expenses rise to meet income. The law of three. This is number 13. There are three legs to the stool of financial freedom: savings, insurance, and investment. 14, the law of investing. Investigate before you invest. 15, the law of compound interest. Investing your money carefully and allowing it to grow at compound interest will eventually make you rich. 16, the law of accumulation. Every great financial achievement is an accumulation of hundreds of small efforts and sacrifices that no one ever sees or appreciates. 17, the law of magnetism. The more money you save and accumulate, the more money you attract into your life. 18, the law of accelerating acceleration. The faster you move toward financial freedom, the faster it moves towards you. 19, the law of the stock market. The value of a stock is the total anticipated cash flow from the stock discounted to the present day. Two more laws. 20, the law of real estate. The value of a piece of real estate is the future earning power of that particular piece of property. And the final law, and that is 21, the law of the internet. The internet is a tool for rapid communication of information of all kinds. Lots of this is common sense, but if you are in a business or if you are even thinking of doing anything, it's one of those things that just makes you think. You don't need to take everything for the way it is absolutes that you have to follow. But what I'm trying to do is just give you something to pause and think about. And especially when it comes to your own personal finances, maybe your business, and maybe one of those laws, something will stick and it may help you. And it's why that was sent to me. Let's get to some email. First email is from Chris. He sends a link to Introducing Windows 8, an overview for IT professionals. And it's a free ebook that can be downloaded, and the link will be in the show notes. Chris, thank you for sending that to me. Check that out, especially if you are diving into Windows 8. This is from Frank, and it's comment on show 440. Good show as usual. My comments are about the gigabit switches. On your recommendation, I purchased the HP ProCurve 1810G-24 to replace a failed Cisco Linksys managed switch. I found the HP ProCurve to be a better replacement and I'm planning to order a few more. You're correct, the price fluctuation is steep. I had to find an alternative. I ended up buying the Netgear ProSafe Gigabit Smart Switches. The Netgear switch has a similar web interface and configuration as the HP ProCurve. For what we need at work, these managed switches are doing well. I use Cacti, and that is www.cacti.net, which is an open source project to graph network usage per port. Below are the Netgear models I used. and he has the ProSafe 8-port gigabit switch, the 16-port, and the 24-port. Thank you very much for that. This is from Cliff. Syncing an iPhone 4S calendar and contacts with Outlook 2003. This is going to be a tough one. I need your help. Hi, Mike. I've got a quick question about syncing an iPhone 4S calendar and contacts with Outlook 2003. I have a customer who just purchased iPhones for 5 people in the office, and they are not on exchange. So that means he can't use ActiveSync. I was looking at iCloud, as you have mentioned in the past shows. I did some research and found that it's only compatible with Office 2007 and up. That is true. And by the way, you have to be at least Vista or Windows 7. Yeah, it will not work with XP. Do you know of any other alternatives that would work with Outlook 2003? I could probably get them going with iTunes Sync, but they would need to connect their phones to receive the updates. I was wondering if you had a more seamless solution. Well, here's the question, and Cliff, thanks for your question here. What email service are they using? If they don't have a local exchange server, clearly it's hosted email. Is it Google? Because you could use something like G-Sync to be able to help you sync, but you're going to have to go to some third-party programs, and I'm not familiar with all of them out there. What are alternatives for Cliff for syncing Outlook to his iPhone where he can't use iCloud? Right now, to not spend any money, you just use iTunes and do a local sync and then take it from there. But if they're doing Gmail, maybe you could take advantage of syncing the calendars and contacts to Gmail and then just using Pop on their iPhone and using Google Contacts and Calendar and then having that sync with Outlook. So there's a couple ways. Look at G-Sync as a possible solution, but email me and let me know recommendations that we can give Cliff. This is from Jason, and he started out by asking me, he just set up his first server with Shadow Protect, and he was configuring it, and he wanted to know if there are any kind of suggestions I have for him. And he was setting it to do incrementals every hour. Now, on the surface, that sounds great, but doing a backup incremental every hour can maybe get in the way, especially if you have a database running, and he found that out. So we were going back and forth with some email, and the ultimate configuration, I would say, is make it 4 hours for the incrementals. Don't do it every hour if you're running a SQL database, because I tried that when I first implemented Shadow Protect on a small business server with SQL running, and we had some interrupts and some hiccups with that SQL database. So I made it where it was at the incremental would happen at times that the server was not being slammed. So lunchtime, you know, the morning, quick, you know, right before everybody got in, the afternoon at lunchtime, and then at the end of the day, and then a full backup at night. Space out the incrementals so you're not going to be interfering with production databases. Secondly, I always recommend making sure that the backup is encrypted by picking a password for saving your backups. So, and he did do that. Jason, thanks for your questions. This is from Dennis. Hi, Mike. I'm still addicted to your show. I listened to a podcast when you mentioned customers who were typing your web address into the search bar and not the address bar. This mistake had not happened until recently. Something must have changed because people don't change. I believe the browsers, including IE, is causing the problem by having the search bar and the address bar combined. Bad, Microsoft, bad. Software updates should be transparent. I have spent over 3 decades learning the software that I now use. I do not want to spend my last decades forgetting in order to relearn. If today's new car were controlled by waving your hands, next year's model is controlled by tilting your head. The next year's model is controlled by where you look. Every new model cannot be controlled using the old method. The operator will call the mechanic and say, "I keep waving my hands and I still go crashing into trees." If the same mistake is being done by different individuals, then the problem is in the design, not in the people, i.e. the butterfly ballot. I would like to start a movement to boycott software updates that are not transparent and the head tilting control, but keep the hand wave control as the default. Dennis, thank you. It is something interesting that I never looked at it as, you know, people are doing the same thing, but the software, you're right. It's very confusing, as I've had this happen to so many people now when I say go to a website, but the search bar is there. And that's the search bar companies. And I'm not going to blame IE or the browser. I'm going to take on the search bars that are thrust down our throat, that we are forced to accept, and not by our choice. If we are installing an update to software and the toolbar manufacturer has combined it with that update and they don't even give us a choice to not install it, and then it's there and it makes it look like that is the address bar. And this is the confusion on the typical user, and it's a problem that we're all seeing. I've worked around it with all your suggestions, you know, having them, you know, use a hotkey and then type it and made it better. But we really have to communicate, and this won't solve it totally, but have users go to custom or advanced when they're installing something and carefully look at what is being installed and then uncheck things. There's lots of things that they even if you do that, you sometimes don't have a fighting chance and that ask toolbar still comes back. And I just hate it. I don't care if they were giving away $1 million to use that toolbar. I refuse to use a product that has done despicable marketing tactics by shoving themselves down our throats. I will absolutely take the exact opposite stance and refuse to use it and not even look at it. Anyway, that's about it for the content for tonight. I do have some music that I'm going to get to in a minute. If you buy from Amazon, please continue to use my link. I want to thank everybody that uses my Amazon links. That's amazon.mikenation.net, miketechshow.com/Amazon. You'll find your prices are the same, but a commission will come back to support the Mike Tech Show. And I really appreciate that. And save that toolbar, save that in your toolbar or your bookmarks, those links, and continue to use them and share them. I really appreciate it. I have some music. You know, if you've been a regular Mike Tech Show listener a long time, you know I like the local artist Liz Longley, who has really, her career, now that she's graduated from college from Berkeley in Boston, she's working on a new album that's going to be out in February. And I was driving on Saturday night and listening to the Coffee House channel on XM Radio. My wife was with me, and Liz Longley's song came on the air on XM, Sirius XM satellite radio. And I was so impressed. And I have this song on one of her CDs. And I said, you know what? On my next show, I'm going to play it. I think I've played this once a while back. It's the cover of a great song called Moondance. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance. Need the stars up above in your eyes. I fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. And all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. And I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. And all the night's magic seem to whisper in hush. And all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Well, can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. And I know the time will be just right. And straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams will come true, dear. There and then I will make you my own. And every time I touch you, you just tremble inside. I know how much you want me that you can't hide. Well, can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Or can I just make some more romance with you? One more moon dance with you in the moonlight on a magic night. Round, 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 round in the moonlight on a magic night. Round, 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 round. Boom, da, lead up.
That was Liz Longley and the song Moon Dance, and you can find that song from her CD Hot Loose Wire, and you could obtain all of her music and purchase it from LizLongley.com. I'll have the link in the show notes. And she is coming out with a new CD. It's interesting, earlier I still call them albums, tell my age, but the new CD is going to be released in February, so looking forward to that. I want to thank you for downloading and staying subscribed to the podcast. I really appreciate it. Thank you for all your support, and I'll be back here same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.